Welcome to the 12th edition of HGF's Fashionably IP podcast. My name's Rebecca Field. I'm a chartered trademark attorney at IP law firm HGF, and I'm joined by my colleague Lee Curtis, who's also a chartered trademark attorney at HGF.
Hello, and welcome to our number 12 podcast.
As you know, the Fashionably IP podcast has been developed from the success of the Fashion and IP LinkedIn group, which is run by us and now has over 13,000 members, including many of the leading IP counsel across the world, both in-house and from private practice. This podcast series finds inspiration from the subjects commented on in that group. If you are not a member of Fashion and IP, please find it amongst the groups on LinkedIn and simply apply to join. To be clear, this podcast is not legal advice, and if you have any queries on the points we have raised, please contact us directly at either rfield@hgf.com or lee@alcurtis@hgf.com. This podcast is the third in a series of three podcasts on key aspects of design law in the UK and EU, but of course with a fashion spin. Our plan is to run a second series of podcasts on key aspects of trademark law in the UK and EU in due course, and of course, give it that fashion spin too. So we have got to the point where we always talk about HGF. Sorry for those people who have heard this bit before, but who are HGF for those who've not listened before, Lee?
Well, HGF is one of the leading IP firms in Europe. We have offices across the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We manage the IP portfolios of many of the world's leading companies and can do all things IP, whether that is clearing your IP, registering your IP, or enforcing your IP. Given that this podcast is about design law, I should also mention that HGF also has a large and growing design practice. We advise leading fashion brands on design clearance and provide advice and file numerous design applications, not only in the UK and EU, but across the globe. Now back to Rebecca and fashion design.
So in this 12th podcast, we are going to talk about all the small but important points of registering designs in the UK and EU. So we're going to touch on drawings, disclaimers, descriptions, classifications and more. These issues may in themselves be small points, but can be very important in the registration and enforcement of registered designs in the fashion world in the UK and the EU. So, Lee, what are we going to discuss first?
Well, I thought I would first talk about two Ds. So, firstly, drawings and disclaimers. Drawings or photos of registered designs are very important in the registration of designs in the United Kingdom and the European Union. The UK IPO and the EU IPO, and indeed the courts, generally are of the opinion that the representations of designs concerned in the form of drawings and photos must stand on their own feet in the assessment of what the registered design covers. Generally, descriptions of designs do not have much weight in the UK and EU design practice, so it is very important that you get the design representations right. It is very easy to file the wrong type of representations, and this has come back to haunt you, and this could come back to haunt you when it comes to enforcement. There is always a debate over whether line drawings, CAD/CAM representations, or photos are the best to use in design representations. Generally, we tend towards a preference for line drawings for designs, the reason being that these are clearer as to what points of the design are being protected. Also, the well-known case before the Supreme Court in the UK, PMS International PLC versus Magmatic Limited, otherwise known as the famous Trunky case, illustrated some of the drawbacks of using CAD/CAM drawings. Did a CAD/CAM drawing which has some shading in the representation cover only the shape and configuration of the product concern, or did it also cover surface decoration in combination with the shape and configuration? In the end, the Supreme Court decided the latter, and this essentially meant that Magmatic's design infringement claim failed as it turned on the shape configuration alone. If you're looking to protect colour as well as the shape and configuration of a fashion design, you should consider filing multiple designs before the UK IPO and the EU IPO, registering the various combination of design elements and embodiments separately for each design. Although you would file such designs as part of one multiple design application before the offices, each design is issued a separate registration number on grant and is considered a separate design registration. Also, it should be remembered that the UKIPO, although you can have up to 12 operative views of any one design, for the EUIPO, the number allowed is only 7. Although you can file more than 7 views of any one design before the EUIPO, the views over 7 do not form part of the design registration and are only there for information purposes to effectively interpret the other views. Also, do not forget about disclaimers. Disclaimers can be very useful to hone in on points of any design which is important to you. Also, when combined with a multiple UK and EU design registration, can build up a thicket of registered designs covering the whole or individual elements of a design product. For example, thinking about the world of fashion design, consider the design of a sneaker or a trainer. One could register the whole as one design representation, then the individual components of the trainer or sneaker, such as the sole, the upper, the heel of the sneaker or trainer, separately. Dotted lines are generally accepted in the UK and EU as showing disclaimed elements. However, you should consider when claiming priority from foreign design applications, such as a US design patent application in relation to UK and EU design applications, that some thought has to be applied to the drawings used. Sometimes lines appear on non-UK and EU design drawings which do not accord with UK and EU registered practice. You do not have to use the identical drawings to maintain a priority claim, providing it is clear that the drawings you use cover the priority design. So what other snippets of UK and EU registered design practice can we talk about, Rebecca?
Well, I'm going to talk about Locarno classifications and descriptions, products or otherwise. Although one does not have to use Locarno classifications to file a UK design application, you just have to define the product covered. To file an EU design application, it is necessary to provide a Locarno class. Now, we can search and provide such a classification for you when you send us any EU design application instructions. So, for example, articles of clothing fall in class 2. We have dresses, for example, in class 0202, and we have hats in class 0203. However, sometimes your product does not always fall easily into any one Locarno class, and it can become a little tricky. We have to use the closest class, and the examiner of the EU design application will examine the classification used. Sometimes proposing or simply imposing classification changes. Also, it should be remembered that the Locarno classification and the product description does not impact the scope itself of the registered design. You can stop the use of the registered design or a design which does not provide a different overall impression on all products. One can provide a description in both UK and EU design applications. However, for EU design applications, the description has no impact on the subsequent design registration. In the UK, a description potentially may have an impact on the interpretation of any uncertainty over the design drawings, if a recent case before the IPEC is upheld on appeal. Now, this case did not concern fashion items, but it concerned gin. It was between Marks & Spencer's PLC and Aldi Stores Limited, two high-profile retailers here in the UK and obviously elsewhere. Now, in that case, which concerned design registration of a light-up gin bottle, the fact that Marks & Spencer had applied an optional description of the design as light gin bottle was crucial when the judge considered the scope of the design registration. Generally, we do not use such optional descriptions on UK design applications, our view being if the representations are clear enough, they should be able to stand on their own feet. Also, although in this case the description was to Marks & Spencer's advantage in different circumstances, it could be potentially limiting perhaps. However, if you are registering a fashion design which may be hard to completely define accurately in design drawings, think about an additional description or limitation which can be applied to a UK design application to make it completely clear what the design registration is actually meant to cover. However, great thought must be given to these descriptions and limitations. So are there any other quirks of UK and EU registered design practice that people should be aware of, Lee?
Yes, three come to mind. Firstly, for UK and EU design applications, you do not have to define the designers, or in the US parlance, the inventors of a design in any design applications. Generally, as a matter of practice, I do not list designers' details in applications, providing the applicant and registrant details are clear. I do not really see the advantage of defining them. Also, when filing an EU design application based on priority, you need to make sure that if the priority application has been filed in the name of the inventors or designers first, and then assigned to the applicant, that the assignment is executed before an EU design application is filed. Otherwise, the priority claim can be deemed invalid. This is particularly important for EU design applications claiming priority from US design patent applications. Finally, generally, design applications before the UK IPO and EU IPO cannot be amended post-filing, particularly with regards design views, without losing the filing date. Views can be deleted, but cannot be amended in most cases. So, Rebecca, are there any takeaways from these discussions?
Thanks, Lee. Yes, I think the key points are get your design representations right, think about filing multiple design applications for the different embodiments of a fashion design, and think about using disclaimers, for example, dotted lines in the design representations to claim certain elements of the design of the product, as well as the product as a whole via multiple design applications. Descriptions clearly can have an impact on the interpretation of design representations, at least in the UK. And finally, remember, we can only file up to 12 operative design views in the UK and only 7 before the EU IPO. We hope that you've enjoyed our 12th Fashionably IP podcast, and more will follow in the months to come. Please do feel free to share this podcast and also rate it on the various platforms. Also, feel free to go through our back catalogue and listen to our previous podcasts. Thanks very much for listening, and good luck with filing those design applications, hopefully some via us.